Good evening, guys.
Good evening. So you know what
this
it is.
This week, though, you know, this is monumental here. You know, it's colossal.
This is colossal. This is a moment, man. This is we making a little history here on the From Scratch show. I got our first official guest.
The general.
The general.
Let me not push it. Hold on. T N F.
Keep going.
Ace.
You got it.
The general of it. He could be Ace, maybe. You might call him Ace.
Yeah, you can call me Ace. You can call me The One.
The One.
The One is the name I gave myself, so you know.
Hey, you know.
People probably like, yo, man, that's real pompous of you to get yourself The One.
Man.
But I mean, I feel like I'm The One. Yeah.
Saying that.
The thing that I always hate when I listen to podcasts is people act like you don't know who the guest is, because they in the title. So we won't do too much suspense, because you click the link and read it by now.
It's going to say my name, obviously. And if you can read, you'll see.
It'll be hashtagged everything.
The homie. The homie is here, though. Acapella, welcome.
Yeah. Welcome. Good. What's up, guys? Brother. Thank you. I'm appreciative of being the first guest, so. Yeah.
First guest. So, you know, We haven't did a whole, you know, press release and all that of what From Scratch is, but you can kind of figure it out from the name of the podcast. So, we want to be a part of, you know, like, we don't want to be like, you know, everybody had jumped on Big Sean once he blew.
Yeah, I
knew Shine. I love Shine.
Cut it out, guys. Cut it
out. Not everybody.
I will get into that soon. Cut it out.
So this will be Acapella's, you know, probably, this will be his most gritty interview. Probably
hey,
ever.
I'm down with
it,
man.
Show,
I'm from the hood,
man.
I ain't tripping, bro.
That's
I didn't,
a lot popping, man.
Ever.
That's a lot
poppin', man, I done been in some crazy studios, like, shit. So, I done been in some recording off the bunk bed type shit, bro. So,
everybody's off the bunk bed.
So, we're going to talk, you know what I'm saying? We're going to let y'all get familiar. For everybody that's not familiar with the campaign that this young man has built and the name that he has grinded for himself, you know, we'll talk about that. And we're also going to, you know, let him be a part of all of the other madness that we talk about. Because it's been a good week.
Yeah, man.
You know, it's a lot popping.
And I'm always down for a great discussion, man, about everything.
But, you know, let's get into it. You know, we got this guest. We can't waste this special guest. So
absolutely.
Let's talk about it. You know what I'm saying? So, Acapella, where did the name
come from? Man, it's a long ass story.
Hey, that's what we do. Right.
we got a little time. Yeah.
All right, so I started off, y'all remember that movie? Carmen.
Okay.
The Beyonce
Carmen,
movie.
Carmen.
Remember my man that rapped in it, the rapper's name was Young Blaze or something like that.
Okay.
My first, let's backtrack all the way to eighth grade.
Go, man.
Alright, it started in eighth grade. I first started rapping. I was like 13. My man Ronald taught me how to rap. I always thought this nigga was like in class doing work. You know, you get that one person.
You find out.
Yeah, you be like, you doing your homework early and shit while the teacher tell you, the teaching and everything. That's why I'm like, nah. He like, nah, bro. I'm writing raps. I'm like, word.
I
always dug hip hop. Like, it was the craziest. You ask anybody, I'm the craziest, like, hip hop fanatic fiend. My girl would tell you, like, the other night, she was like, nigga, shut up. Like, you've been on the phone for 2 hours. My dog.
Right.
Shout out to my dog, Adam Rev. But, yeah, man, what you call that? I was like, oh, I can do that, you know what I'm saying? So I got to writing and everything. I was like, I need a name. And Ghostface Killer is one of my favorite rappers. So my first rap name was Ghostface Thug. It sounds corny to say. I was in eighth grade. I was 13.
But
after that, I got older. I probably started taking it real serious at like, I took it serious in middle school, but I was taking it real serious at like 15, 16. And then I was actually a gospel rapper when I first got into the studio. Like
the message.
Yeah, I mean, it comes full circle. But that taught me, you know what I'm saying, that you can't be just a one-dimensional artist. Like, you're a human. You still got faith in God if you're not an atheist or whatever your religion is or whatever. So, you know what I'm saying, you still going to give it to the highest. And that helped me in the long run, which comes full circle now that I'm older and whatnot. So my name was, I took the young off the acapella, Young Blaze, And my boy used to make beats. And he would never fucking give me no beats. So I'm like, bro, you make beats, nigga. I need beats to rap off. My thing is, the way I taught myself how to rap is I'd take a song off the radio that was popular, one of my favorite songs, and I would basically just, like, cancel out the lyrics and just listen to the instrumental. So I know how to block that shit out. So I'll write my own verses to the instrumentals or whatever because I couldn't get no beats. So I was like, damn, I'm just calling myself Blaze Acapella. Nice. So then after that, I probably got a little bit older, like 18. This when I was 18, 19. I just turned it to B Acapella. And then I just dropped the B off of it, you know what I'm saying, when I got in my 20s or whatever, and just to shorten it up. But, yeah, it's basically because I couldn't get no beats, man. My boy was on some bullshit.
That's a good reason. You know what I mean?
The growth here, though.
Yeah,
the
man, that's real.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's where acapella came from. So, hopefully. It wasn't too simple, and it wasn't too complicated. There's a lot of people that got names now that's... I'd be like, I don't even know how to pronounce that shit, bro. You know what I'm saying? So it'd just be like, people don't even have like vowels and just consonants in their name. And I'd be like, what the fuck does that mean?
We've only got consonants.
Yeah, but that's different. That's a show, though. You know what I'm saying?
We all consonants.
But you can, if you're kind of smart, you can figure out what it says from scratch. And some people shit be turned up, it be symbols. I'd be like, what is all this?
Them V's, boy.
Yeah, them V's, man. I be like, dog, is this supposed to be an A?
So, you, yeah.
They just turn the it into AF, so now they use
kids,
V's.
The kids these days.
This explains why I don't know.
Mostly about, like, the ASAP mob stuff. Like, the V.
I didn't know them niggas had clothes. Like, I was in a store the other day, and I saw, like, some ASAP, like, apparel. I'm like, are they that?
Yeah, they,
you know,
they
that's
got
what
it,
they claim. You know they claim that they high fashion.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what, so, I mean, I guess that
that's their whole spiel, bro.
Maybe,
you
know? I'm also not high fashion, so what's some shit that won't be past.
Yeah, ASAP Rocky, like, he a huge high fashion rapper, so, you know. Yeah, what's called that?
The alleged dress and all that. So
he like the ratchet Kanye. He like the Harlem Kanye.
Okay, that might actually be the most description of ASAP that I've ever heard. But I mean, tell us what you got going on, man. I mean, we got you in here. We know you're working on something.
Yeah,
what should the people
that
be looking
EP,
out for?
That EP, right? The EP is done. It's called the EP. For one, I wanted to just keep it simple. I ain't want to be like naming all this crazy shit. It's the EP.
Okay.
How that came about is, after last fall, only people that pretty much know me, you know what I'm saying, that watch me record whatever, they know I got another album that's called One Shot Kill, OSK, that I was promoting at first, but I ended up pushing it to the back because it was like, I need a buzz.
Yeah.
So I don't want to sit here and release something and I don't get no recognition for it. I'm not going to get no profit for it, you know what I'm saying, because I'm not fully independent like that yet. So I don't want to just put out good music and waste it like I've done in the past, you know. So it's just a learning experience. So I was like, I need to create something that's gonna put my name out there and give me a little buzz, but it's not too much music, but I want it to be some new music, you know what I'm saying, all new music. Because once I finish a project, I'm like, all right, we on to the next one. Like my mind evolves like that as far as an artist, you know what I'm saying. This is technically my sixth project.
Wow.
So this is the sixth one. So
where can people get the old stuff too?
We're gonna get you.
I had to get the old stuff.
Before we get, you know what I'm saying?
I'll get y'all the private stash of the old stuff. You know, so y'all gotta worry about that. I can burn, you know, some CDs and put them in the flash drive, you know, do it greasy. But the EP is basically the story, basically just my life from January all the way up until the spring, the end of the summer, because it's already done. So it's basically from then, when it was just cold as shit, and I was like down on my luck, and I'm new in a relationship with this new girl, and then, you know, I'm about to take this trip out to Cali, so I intertwine it all together, and it's all in 7 songs.
Okay.
So it's a good 23 minutes or something like that of music. So it's like, you know,
to keep your short attention.
Yeah, it's going. I know people got them short attention spans, man. So it's like, all right, I want to give y'all meaningful music. But I want to, you know, give y'all not too much. But I always got some shit in the stash, man. So,
so the EP is coming.
Yeah, it's
still
no
date though.
Yeah, I don't have no exact date, but I'm gonna drop it at the end of August. Okay. Like, it's ready, man.
You heard that? You heard that.
I had to tweak it a little bit. End of August, no date. So don't be going out there making up no phantom dates and shit like that. But as soon as, you know what I'm saying, I get to finish getting the artwork done. I'm about to shoot the video for Pain next week. That's the first single that's on SoundCloud. So if you're listening to this, you can go to my SoundCloud page and basically check out my
link.
Yeah, it'd be soundcloud.com/acapellaTNFAC. So
we'll be sure to include that in
So now, you know, like in Detroit, you know, and in general, like rap is popular, rap is big. So what makes, what separates acapella from the rest of the trap rap? You know, so do you have Giuseppe's? Does my boy acapella have the Fendi belt or the Ferragamo belt? Is he rapping about that?
Nah, man, I ain't rapping about that shit, bro. Happens? Nah.
You know what I'm, do we get those? Like, what makes acapella different
To tell you the truth, I ain't never been to Benihana's, man. Okay. Like, for real.
Dispel the stereotype here
now. Yeah, yes. I am a young black man. I am 27, and I have never been. I'm from Detroit, the West Side, Plymouth and Greenfield. Shout out to P Rock, but I have never been to Benihana's, ladies and gentlemen. So y'all can get that stereotype out of y'all mind. I go to places like Fleming's. I never been to J. Alexander. I like Katana. I like P.F. Chang's. I like Bravo. I like places in Royal Oak. I like all that
talking about different hood spots.
I don't hood spots, man. Shit, I just had some spud heads. Some spud heads today. I like Sweetwater. I like all that shit, man. I be in the gritty spots, get the good food, man. For real.
So you're not out your element,
man. Nah, man. I'm like a chameleon, man. Like, I'm what separate. This is what separates me, like, as a artist and a person. I'm pretty much like, I've always been a different guy, but I wasn't the weirdo different guy. You know what I'm saying? I'm the smart guy in school, but I was cool with everybody, you know what I'm saying? The athletes and the cool kids, and if you want to call them, like, the nerds or the lames or whatever people want to call them. Like, I was cool with everybody because that's a piece of me. Like, everybody was a piece of me. So it's like, I'm not that one-dimensional person. I'm not going to be a one-dimensional artist. So I'm not going to be talking about all the Fendi belts and the Ferragamo shoes and the Buffies, man. The Buffies thing is not even my style. I like Cartier, but I like Cartier Aviators, like, I'm not into that shit, especially, man. You fuck around and get killed for them out here, man. So, over some glasses, man, I can't.
These young boys are still hungry, though.
This is an important subject that we need to talk about, man, because this cat's out here that's just killing over, you know what I'm saying, materialistic shit, man. It's like, as a rapper, I don't want to stereotype myself and put myself in danger just to keep it real or just to portray some image that everybody else is popular seeing or whatever. So, that's just not me.
So who would you say that acapella is making the music for? Like, if you had to put a person or put a face on it, like, what is the music for? Like, is it backpack rap? Is it crossover music? Pop music? Like,
just to tell people.
Like,
it's
somebody, all of that shit. Somebody's like, never heard an acapella track right now. What are you going to tell them, like, when you put on those beats?
I like to call it life music. Okay. So it's just for the regular, the people that's our age, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you don't get too preachy, you're not too conscious, you know what I'm saying? Because backpack, I love backpack rap, but I couldn't be like one of those 5%er guys. I mean, nothing wrong with that. I studied the Quran, I read a lot of different stuff. So, you know, it's just for the everyday average person that, you know, got their dreams and you chase your dreams and you don't settle for just the regular shit that the world handle you. You know, you're not a sheep or nothing like that, man. It's just, it's kind of think for yourself music, so. I mean, it's feel good shit. It's gonna be different, man. When you hear it, the sound quality, everything.
Yeah. I mean, and that's, you know, I mean, that's a really good, I guess, kind of point about the music itself. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you have to be true to yourself about who you are as an artist, and, you know, kind of where you want to go and what you want people to get from your music.
Right.
I mean, and like, when you're recording this stuff, I mean, like, when you, what kind of feeling are you trying to give people? Like, what is your music? I mean, we talked about kind of where it fit, but
right.
What do you want people to, like, take away from your story?
Because
this
shit,
EP is your story, right?
So. Yeah, man. Basically, that I'm just like everybody else, man. But at the same time, it's to show people that, like, as far as the city, man, a lot of people, they right now they down on their luck or whatever. Right. But it's kind of like when you see somebody from Detroit, you champion them. When they out there in the public and they out there in the world and they doing, they successful, and you be like, oh, Dan Gilbert is a successful businessman from Detroit, or, you know, somebody like, yo, Madonna's from Detroit or something crazy like that. You be like, okay, you know what I'm saying? Because Detroit is always the outcast of the world, man. And I always felt like the black sheep or the outcast or just anything of the norm.
Yeah.
So I'd say it fits like, it basically, it's motivational music and it's feel good, like, dreamy. Like, it's just chasing your dreams, man. It's like the best you can be on wax. That's the best I can explain that shit, man.
So, you know, like earlier you spoke about how you were, you know, you started off initially as the gospel rapper.
Right.
So what made you shift out of that gospel rap?
At that age, I wasn't really ready to, like, just focus on gospel rap. Like, when you're young, you're thinking, well, I can't be rapping about this, you know what I'm saying? Because you want to impress people that you're listening to. So if they hear that you're a gospel rapper, you're more than likely automatically going to be turned off. People our age, because they damn sure don't even go to church, really. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, oh, you're a gospel rapper. They just going to shun you automatically, man. It's not like, I say, like, my man Lecrae is a dope gospel rapper. But I wouldn't even put him as a gospel rapper. He's just a rapper that, you know what I'm saying, he follows his faith. And he don't, you know, he don't use profanity. He still get his point across. You know what I'm saying? I was good at it then, and they added another side to another weapon to my repertoire as far as an artist. But I wasn't ready for it then. I just wanted to speak on what I know and what I see and the actuality. You know what I'm saying? And shit, I'm a regular person. I curse. I sin. I repent. You know what I'm saying? We not perfect as humans. So I just wanted to put that on wax and just show people, like, yeah, you could be yourself and you can still capture your dreams and reach your goals just because you're from a city that they say ain't shit or, you know what I'm saying, it's falling apart. Don't mean that you have to be a product of it. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to fall into the stereotype.
I mean, so, you know, I guess the hanging question is, could you ever, like, see yourself going back to that, like, doing another, like, going back into gospel rap and really putting energy into it?
Yeah, I probably could. I wouldn't even doubt it. Like, my grandma always say, like, that I'm going to be a minister. I mean, I can believe it. I mean, I'm really into my faith and whatnot. Right. You know, I'm not saying, like, I'm a Bible thumper or nothing like that. Right. And no offense to anybody that is or whatever. Whatever way you go about your religion, that's how you go about your religion. But, you know, I'm a high believer in God and my faith. You know what I'm saying? I'm a Christian. So, I mean, the world ain't getting no better. So you got to have some faith. So, I mean, if that's the path God sends me down in a direction at the end of my career or the middle of my career or whatever, I'm not going to, you know what I'm saying, not accept it. I'm going to just take it and go with it.
That's real. So, you know, I feel like I'm compelled to ask this question, right, man, because everybody has, like, stories, right? You know what I mean? Like
I got some wild stories, bro. You
know what I mean? So I want to know, and I know everybody who listens to us wants to know, like, what's your wildest story? Like, what's the wildest story you got about your experience in music?
Oh, shit. Let me see. Man, oh, man. Okay, all right. This may not be the wildest. Like, you talking about, like, crazy. I can't believe this shit just happened.
Yeah.
All right. This ain't happened too long ago, but this is probably, like, the best thing that happened so far. And it was, like, a surreal feeling.
Right.
And this is a great feeling for people out there that's never experienced somebody that you look up to or whatever, like, in your music. But last December, you know, Kanye had the Yeezus tour.
Yeah.
I was at the tour, and, My pops out, he live out LA and shit.
Okay.
So he cool with a lot of celebrities, man, because he got a clothing store out there in the mall or whatnot. Okay. So he been out there since the '80s.
Yeah.
But yeah, he been on the game for a minute. So I'm at the concert. I'm blitzed out of my mind. I ain't gonna lie. I was high as shit. It made the music better. I'm sorry guys if you don't smoke. I smoke sometimes, and you know what I'm saying? I went to the Yeezus concert. I was like, yo, I gotta be high and watch this. It's Kanye. He gonna put on a hell of a show.
Yeah.
So I'm in the middle of the concert, you know what I'm saying, to get past that. And my phone, I don't think it was on silent. It might have been on vibrate, and I didn't feel it. But right. In the palace, you know, you don't really had a good signal.
Exactly.
So I look at my phone. It's like 5 missed calls and 2 texts. It's like, the game want to talk to you. I'm like, oh, like the shit. Game? The game, as in, what up, blood? West Coast crazy. Game. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, shit. I'm like, I got to find somewhere quiet. So I'm like, man, I got to get out of this area. I went to the bathroom, man, and it was still loud as hell. So I'm just running around the palace trying to find a quiet spot, man. And I couldn't find a real quiet spot. So I called my pops back like, yo, what's up, man? He like, yo, man, the gang right here, man. He was like, he want to talk to you and shit. So he put him on the phone. He like, what up, blood? I'm like, what's good, man? He like, yo, man, I heard your music and everything, man. Your shit dope, man. You know what I'm saying? you know, I fucks with your music and you keep doing what you do. I'm like, that's what's up, man. I was like, you know, I'm like you're one of my top 20, 25 rappers, man. So for him to call me, that shit was just super ill, bro. And it was like, you know, when you coming out to Cali, I'm glad they ski and all that. So I was like, man, I'll be out there, shit. I'll be out there right now, man. Yeah. I'm like, bro, you get the ticket right or whatever. I'm like, I'm out there as soon as possible, man. So I went out there and linked up with him, man. And we was just kicking it. And it was just surreal, man. It was crazy, bro. We met up at the gym. His son was playing middle school.
Yeah.
Basketball or whatnot. We was in Culver City. And we went out there, man. We was just chopping it up and talking about some stuff, man. But he a real cool dude, man. That was probably the craziest shit that happened to me, bro.
That is
kind of I talked to him a few more times after that. So that was like, if for those of you that don't know, I mean, it's not a big deal to some people, but...
No, to me, it's a big deal. I don't know about... Like, that's major to actually, like, kick. Well, most people don't get a chance to kick it with game.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean? So
like, that doesn't happen.
That was fun.
Especially as a, you know what I mean, as an artist, really getting an opportunity to, like, yeah, make like, a connection. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, he liked my music. Connect. I was like, damn, you like my music? I was surprised. I'm like, shit. I'm like, all right. Yeah. I'm like, man, you like a legend to me, bro. So, you know, I couldn't, like, you know... I was jumping up and down on the inside, like, fuck, I'm at the Kanye concert and the game called me. I'm like, it's a hell of a story. So I got to write about this shit, man. So I was like, that was probably, yeah, it's probably been the craziest experience musically. Not in life, I'd have had some ill-ass experiences, but you know.
Yeah, I'm sure those experiences right, have been formed.
They'll be in wax anyway.
You know what I mean? Exactly. You know what I mean, that's where the best writing comes from, the stories, right? You know what I mean? The parts of your life and the crazy stories really have formed, you know. You know what I mean, what you do with your music, man. Mm-hmm. So, one of the things that I'm always interested in, like when I talk to somebody who's getting into music
mm-hmm.
or who's in music, is like who legitimately inspired you? Like, who was the artist when you first started that you was like, yo, I want to rhyme like this dude?
Oh, shit, man. It's a toss up between, it was like two different times, man. I'll say, probably, it's three guys, actually. I say it's DMX and Jay-Z when they was popping back in, like, 98, 99. Yeah,
that was
man.
A crazy year.
Like, that was, like, I was in, like, the sixth grade back in, like, 98. So, all that shit was coming out. I shouldn't have been. I was, like, 12, 11, buying albums and, like, Sam Goody. I shouldn't have been listening to that shit.
Sam
but,
Goody. Damn,
man,
that made me feel old.
I tell man, I'm a hip-hop kind of sort, man. Yeah. I can remember years... and time periods by albums. So you say an album, I remember what was going on and when that shit dropped.
The music, dude.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. And that's the type of feeling I love to get in music, you know what I'm saying? I want to get people when they hear my shit. So it's not only going to be the present, it's just going to be, you know what I'm saying, some atmospheric, some I guess you could say, mood type of shit. But the DMX and Jay-Z was like, they made me want to rap. After I seen the Hard Knock Life tour, man. That shit was like, all right, this is what I want to do, you know what I'm saying? So I watched Backstage a lot. So then probably when I got into high school, my biggest influence, and everybody that know me know this, is Kanye West. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, he helped change the face of music. So I was like, all right, I really want to do this shit now. Like, I done dropped out of college because I done failed. I ain't got shit else that I want to do, man. I thought I was going to the NBA, but obviously I'm 5'8". That ain't happening.
No.
And I just lost my passion. I ain't lose my passion for basketball like that, but I'm getting older, man. Ain't no, I'm running up no full court like that until, you know, I get out there and run a few games, man. But there ain't nothing like that, so.
You got to be Nate Robinson with yours.
Yeah, I'm like, man, gym, I only dunked twice in life, man. And that was some fluke shit. I don't know how it happened, but.
My first album I copped was 89,
Yeah,
you know, I wasn't bad. You know, my wife treats me like I was this bad kid, but my uncles was like, they, you know, like they was older, so they could always cop everything,
right?
MC or whatever.
Exactly.
And I had got some money, and I was like, I told my uncle Dave, I was like, give me a tape.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he was a genius, obviously, at this time. He bought me D Nice though.
He bought you D Nice.
And this is 1989. He bought me D Nice. So my grandma's like, count, you gotta count the cuss words on there.
My granny used to be in the same.
So that was my
granny used to make me and Sam Goody. It's the most embarrassing shit too. She'd be like, you know how Sam Goody, you can sit there and play it and listen to this shit on the wall. So she'd be like, all right, let me listen to it on the wall. And if we was in a record store and he couldn't listen to it on the wall with the headphones, she'd be like, well, you need to go up to the counter and ask them, can they play it over the loudspeaker so I can see what they said on it. I'm like, they not going to do that, Granny. You tripping. Like, what kind of privileges is that? She'd be like, well, you ain't going to get the album. I'd be like, please, I'll do anything. Just let me get this album. She'd be like, well, we're going to talk about it because this is a big-ass parental advisory sign. I'd be like, I mean, they all the same thing, so...
But, yeah. Y'all better than I was. I got none of that love. It was no, my people was not buying me no rap albums. Like, it was not happening. Oh, man,
you gotta see my collection, bro.
It wasn't.
They weren't having it for me. Like, the first album I think that I bought, like, with my own dollars, like, when I started working, damn, what album was that? It might have, fuck around, have been Mr. Smith, LL Cool J. That might have been the first one that I had the opportunity to, like, buy.
My gateway to everything was my uncles. And then from that, like, mm-hmm. down, like, I was buying, like, mixtapes from the corner store that, like, this was early on, like, the dude, the dude was a DJ who happened to work at the corner store for my grandma crib, so he just would, like, literally put mixes and put different stuff on tapes, and he was selling bootleg tapes and everything, so I was just buying bootlegs, because it was in my,
like, the high tracks,
in my walk-in distance.
I was doing that, man.
I had the Juice mixtape, like, when that soundtrack was out, like, I bought it for, like, $5 at the store.
Man,
I was just some dope stuff. And then, like, it was just other stuff. Like, my mom, for my birthday, I had got Southern Playlist Cadillac music. Damn. So the thing what my mama didn't know about Southern Playlist Cadillac music is that was going to be this butt-naked
woman on the CD.
Yo, when
so I'm, like, ducking
that.
The high, like, she never seen it.
Man,
so
when,
like,
I see AT Aliens, bro, as a kid, and I cracked that shit open, I'm like, dog. She got the bush and the titties and everything. I'm like, damn. I'm like, what is this?
So I'm like swiping that CD every time. Like, okay, nobody borrow this CD.
I had to borrow stuff from my... That's how I got all of my shit, like, borrowing it from my boys. Like, and my boy brought the Southern Playlist, and I was like...
what is this?
Wait, what? You sure you brought the right one? I'm like, this ain't no joint. This ain't no flick, is it? He's like, no, man, this is the CD. I'm like...
Well, put it in. My uncle was my gateway to getting music. Besides my granny, my uncle had a crazy CD collection as well, bro. And it was like, shit, I would go to his crib and just listen to everything he had when he was at work. Like, let me sneak this shit. Oh, he got this? Oh, he got the Players Club soundtrack? Oh, I'm about to pop this in. This is Hard Knock Life Volumes. Man, I used to take all his CDs and listen to them. And had and the crazy shit is, he used to have them in alphabetical order.
Yeah.
So I had to remember how was color coordination and alphabetical order he had it in. Like, nigga had Akinyele and Aunt B and, like, somebody else together.
Akinyele, just I'm put like, it dog. In the mouth.
Yeah.
So the crazy part, cause, like, I had to go back and, like, once I got grown, I had to, like, go back and get all of the shit that I missed out on. Like, so I had, like, there was, like, this 1 week, like, my pops used to give me allowance, right? And this is when I first started. This is when I first started being irresponsible with money. He gave me like $200. I'm on my bike at Blockbuster Music, cashing out. Like, I'm coming out with like a book bag full of CDs and tapes, like everything. I was like losing my shit. Like, I went back and bought like all. I bit Run DMC shit, Public Enemy. Like, I just went back.
Yeah, that nigga went and soaked it all up.
Man,
shit.
Oh man, because I love the shit. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like. And Public Enemy was, you know what I mean, it Takes a Nation of Millions was like...
I never listened to that shit. Man. I got a Public Enemy's Greatest Hits album, but I never really got into
that
the Bomb Public
Squad
Enemy.
Shit was so tough.
Now, Ice Cube's America's Most Wanted. Ooh, all that, yeah, ooh. All that Bomb Squad shit, man, that shit's so cold, bro.
Death Certificate.
Yeah, man. But Predator.
Kill
like,
at Will EP, all that shit. Predator, man.
I didn't buy them. I listened to all of them. So this is when I was sneaking, listening to everything on the headphone. Yep. I seen all of this. Like, so I always had everything. So I had this upper hand on I guess, the rest of the world to listen to whatever I wanted to. Because the CD that I had, like, because my grandma was my also assist buddy once I got of age, because it was a Columbia house with the penny.
Oh, yeah, with the
90s. So I had 10
CDs. You had 10 CDs to get, one like, free. Man, I was on that too, man.
I had a lick on them, dog. I never paid them. They never got another dollar from me.
I'm like, shit, I had a whole bunch of CDs coming in.
They kept signing the bill, though.
Yeah,
that's like, what right. You know, yeah. Like, if you ain't checked the box and mail that back, like, those are nothing.
You get some CDs and damn, you know, bill. You're like, what the
hell? Some random CD.
He's like, we got to put a stop to this. We got people out here robbing us. Yeah, this is making us look stupid, right?
Cleaning them out.
They're literally paying us in pennies and shit.
Oh, yeah, dog. But they knew what they signed up for, man. Yeah, like, man. You know, he was about to chase people down for that, man.
I mean, that was a good ass opportunity to get music, man.
Yeah, I sent them a nice thank you card. It wasn't no money in it, though.
Cause I'm a Best Buy buff to Target. I used to work in Target in the electronics area, and this when I was like between the ages of 18 and 21. I worked there for 3 years, the one in Dearborn. So, whatever used to come out, man, I used to have the upper hand on everybody because I'd be in the stock room. Like when Carter 3 came out, I had to sit like 3 weeks before everybody, bro. She was like, I got that Carter 3, I got the deluxe edition. Niggas like, what? I'm like, yeah, bro, I got it. He's like, that shit don't come out for another month.
Acapella is really
Man.
The leader of the bootleg.
Man. Oh, no, I had the original, man.
I could, man.
Yeah, I had a plug in Media Play. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, Media Play, man, I used to be in there too, bro.
I had a plug in Media Play that was like, he would like bring us. Cause that's how I got Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood, like 2 weeks earlier, dog. He showed up, man. I passed him that 20, he passed me the CD, I was fooled.
I had bought that shit on cassette on a bootleg from like Mammoth, I think, or some shit like that. Mammoth. For like $5. Yeah. It was like some niggas selling the shit in front of the Mammoth. I'm like, shit, man, $5? Get that. Then I think I grabbed something else, man. I think like a TLC album or something like that. But I think one day as a grown up, I spent probably like $212 on albums that came out that day. Like, I didn't go like back.
Everything.
Yeah, I just went in. I literally bought everything that came out that day.
Was that like a no limit day or something? Like,
nah, man, it was just like, I think it was the summertime and it was like, no, it was the fall. And it was like all these fourth quarter releases coming out.
Yeah, fourth quarter
gets
you.
Yeah, it was two times. It was like the fall of 2006, a lot of shit came out and I spent damn near $300 on albums. And then that one day I just went in the Best Buy and said, fuck it, and just grabbed everything off the new releases, man. My man was like, nigga, are you like reselling this shit or something? I'm like, nah, bro, I'm about to go home and listen to this shit. He like, what? I'm like, yeah, man. Like my CD, I got a picture of my CD collection too, man. It's not even a half of it.
So you still collecting the CD?
Yeah, I still buy albums.
You still got the hard copies?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the times I don't get a chance to go to, because I live downtown, so there ain't no Best Buy down there. It ain't no record stores down there.
No, ain't no
so I got the closest I got to go is to Dearborn and shit, bro. Right. So it's like, I don't get a chance to go to the record stores as much as I want, so I just buy them through iTunes, because I'm always, you know what I'm saying, listening.
Yeah, doing your thing.
I like listening to everything to my earbuds, but yeah, man, I got a crazy-ass CD collection. Let me see where it's at, bro. And people used to clown me because I'm like the guy that, like, looks at, damn. I look at CDs inside the artwork. I like reading who produced what, who engineered what day they did it, what studio, what city it was in. I like reading the thank yous. I'm that nerdy motherfucker when it comes to
the
music.
Hip-hop nerd.
Yeah,
I'm
the hip-hop nerd.
The hip-hop nerd is the coolest nerd.
Yeah, yeah, man.
That is. It's the best nerd to be, really, like. I was like that too, though, man. I used to be like fiending for, because I was huge into producers, dog. Like,
oh, man.
Like, man, when Tim first came out, when Timbaland.
Timbaland is the greatest producer of all time.
Wow. Quick question.
It's cut off. It's boxed off. I got way more CDs. That's just on the table,
though,
bro.
That is crazy.
Quick question, though, Acapella. I got to do this little thing right quick.
Bro. Oh, go ahead.
But before I leave, though, three producers outside of your camp. You pick three, only three, to produce the album.
Major producers or just people?
Whoever you
three,
want,
three,
three,
three.
Yeah. Shit. I'd pick Timbaland. I'd pick Kanye. And I'd pick Jermaine Dupri.
Ooh,
three features.
Three features. All right, off top.
Off of all, so you're not like, we're not gonna put what I'm gonna split it up three features of anybody, period.
Though. Anybody, period? Oh, okay, all right, that's easy.
Dead or alive, too.
DOA?
I'll pick Common, I'll pick shit. You know what? People expect me to pick Kanye, but I wouldn't pick Kanye. I'll pick Common as one, I'll pick Eminem. And I will pick Ghostface Killah.
All right, three features from the city who you ain't did a track with yet.
Dusty McFly, I fucks with his music.
Okay.
Royce and Black Milk.
Milk?
Yeah, yeah. Black Milk, yeah.
Okay.
What three sneakers would you take if there was the only three sneakers you could take?
Man, I'd take any... Well, I wouldn't say any color. Yeah. Any color. Well, no, nah, I want some Jordan 3s. I love 3s.
The 3 might actually be these sneakers.
3s are comfortable. I'll take some Jordan 1s. And then I'll take probably like either some Kobe's or some LeBron's. I'll pick some LeBron's because those are comfortable too. And you can rock those with a lot of shit.
And,
Three albums
that you can carry on your iPhone.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Late Registration will be the first one. Dr. Dre's Chronic 2001 will be second. And the third one will be... Shit. Oh, man. Nelly Furtado's Loose.
That's the curve right there.
The curveball. I gotta have that curveball.
My last one, though. Who had, so we talking crews because you're a music guy.
Right.
Crews. Which crew had the best influential run?
Rockefeller. Okay. Rockefeller had the best run because not only was it like a huge, them niggas like, dog, they gave us Kanye, they gave us J Beans and Bleak. You know what I'm saying? Then it gave us State Property. It gave us Dipset. And then they was still the Rock. And it, like, culminated that whole... Before it started getting into all the trap shit. The late 2000s... I mean, yeah, the late 90s, early 2000s. And, you know what I'm saying? In the mid... I'd say, like, 2005. Like, when Kanye dropped Late Registration. It's like, the Rock had a hold on hip-hop. Like, that's what made me really want to do this shit. Because it was like, it had that classic feel. It was always, they set the standard for that shit, bro.
Yeah, man.
Between them and Cash Money.
That's arguable. Cash Money.
You know, early Cash Money, man.
I hated Cash Money, but I can't deny what they did. It just wasn't my thing.
Okay, now we got something to talk about.
I hated Cash Money because... It just wasn't my thing. Like at that time in the '90s, I would have been from Brooklyn if I could. So like
I would have been from New York too if
I could. New York was my like if it wasn't New York, I couldn't do it. Like I was that dude.
But
you from was that 90, guy.
90 like we saying you were like, talking about earlier about the South and shit. I love Cash Money. I love Cash Money more than No Limit. And
they
I love
No Limit. Than No Limit.
Yeah, they did with Cash Money, man. I wanted to be a hot boy in middle school, bro. I used to
I'm West Coast, man. My whole flavor.
That's my early childhood, bro.
I fuck with the West crazy. So anything that's like West Coast, like I shade towards. So I'm going to always say Death Row, though. I'm going to always say Death Row is, you know what I mean? They run was like, they gave you legitimately like, classic albums. We not talking about just like
a kid, bro.
Good albums. We talk about straight up classics.
True.
So it's
true.
Like difficult.
Because the greatest album, arguably, of all time is Doggy Style to me.
Dog.
What? Man. You say Doggy Style? Because
you got to think about. Because you know, like, I didn't
how
want.
How many singles came off
Snoop
Doggy
Snoop was
Style?
My dude because that was like my first one that I really got to like buy when I knew what I was buying.
Yeah.
But Snoop was my dude. I still had that original CD floating around somewhere. But that album, he broke the lines of what it was to be like a gangster rapper. He was talking that talk on there.
He was.
Then he had
that.
Commercial success. Look at how Snoop is now.
Yeah, man.
But
Snoop
he
is
was
a,
like.
Snoop is
I won't say
icon,
thug,
bro.
But he was that dude, yeah. Like talking that talk of gang talk. Like he was.
And that shit was cold, bro.
Without him, YG couldn't make this album.
No,
nah,
bro, you couldn't get
game. Couldn't have been game without that. You
and it's had that smooth G funk. Like I love that. Like the Chronic and Doggy Style and Dog Pound album and all that shit.
Man. Dog Food.
Yeah.
Psycho
man.
Like Not, man. Like,
Let's Play House and all that shit. Man.
That was a great album.
That shit. Like, Death Row used to scare me, man, because them niggas used to be on some other shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? And Tupac used to scare me, but I love Tupac. The first Tupac album I bought ever was Until the End of Time. And it was like, it's like my favorite one. Like,
wow,
Ballad of the Dead Soldier is my shit, bro. But at the time, like, one of my friends in middle school had got killed, and it was like that album.
It was a life thing.
Yeah, it was kind of like it was a piece. Home. Yeah, it hit home. So it was like, all right, this came out around this time, man. It was just like a weird feeling, but it was a great feeling, dog. Yeah, and then I went back and got all that All Eyes on Me and all that shit, man. Because them niggas used to scare the fuck out of me, bro. For real.
But yeah, man, you know that the West Coast was my thing. Like Machiavelli was like gospel to me, dog. Like,
man, yeah, that album scared the shit out of me the most, man. Cause I had a neighbor from the East Side who used to play that shit, and it's like when all that shit was popping, him and his cousins and them, they'd be over. They was cool as fuck, you know what I'm saying? They made so me and my family was good, and they had two twin boys.
Yeah.
It was around the age of me, but they used to smoke weed and play that shit, man, and play all that Death Row shit. And I used to be scared as fuck, like, man. This gangster shit got me shaking. I'm like, man, I can't fuck with it. But then when I got older, I started, you know what I'm saying?
Understand what it was.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I fuck with West Coast music, like, all around. I love that shit. It's just so laid back.
Yeah.
Shout out to the West Coast.
Because I was like, you know what I mean? We was Chucks. You know what I mean? We really thought we was from the West Coast. Yeah. Like, we list all Snoop everything. Like, anything Snoop. The only Snoop album that came out that I didn't really, like, mess with too tough was, The Dogfather, because it just didn't feel like that was the last one.
It just felt like it was like just some shit just to give, just to
get on the label. That was his pretty much. Yeah, to get, was like, you know what I mean? To get his obligations to Death Row out, and then he moved on. Like, I even messed with his stuff on No Limit. Like,
shit.
The game is to be sold, not to be told.
That would,
and the one that came after that, to have
With Bitch Please.
What's
the name of that album? That album was my shit.
The Last Meal was crazy, man.
Oh yeah, man. The Last Meal was ill, dog. Well, yeah. The one Snoop album I didn't like, man, was Paid the Cost to Be the Boss. I love Beautiful, but
yeah. I mean, you know, Snoop, his later stuff. I mean, Snoop is. I mean, he got a little indulgent and was doing some other stuff. I mean, the
Blue Carpet Treatment was dope. Blue Carpet Treatment was cold, man. That was like his comeback. Man. Yeah, that was dope. Ego Tripping. It was a few albums that Snoop had. But that 90s shit, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think that's like the, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of people talk about the golden era of hip-hop and what it was. But, I mean, if you could give me, like, a time frame, I'm like, the 90s, like, 92 to, like, I would say,
yeah,
like, around, like, 02, 03 was really, like, where this shit was, like, whoa. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you got so much. Like, that's when hip-hop, dog, like,
yeah, that's a
age.
Good ass. I say 92 all the way up until 05.
Yeah.
Like, 05.
That's safe.
Yeah, because me and my boy, we were just talking about, like, the year 20, let me see, 06 was like, the year hip-hop felt like it was just a rap, man. Like, that shit was just, it made this full transition from, like, that gangsta good-making shit to, like, all right, we about to super commercialize it now. Like,
exactly.
All the trap shit, the Laffy Taffy type shit, like, that fourth quarter, everybody had came back, you know, hip-hop is dead, it dropped, Jim Jones dropped the album, Jay-Z came back with that Kingdom Come shit.
Right.
Clips dropped some shit, it was a bunch of shit, Birdman and Wayne was popping, but it just felt like rap was just...
Kingdom Come was an underrated album, man.
It's actually straight.
Jay don't get his respect on that record, man. Yeah. He gave you some.
He had
some gems on there, man.
I didn't like Hollywood. I hated that song, man. That Jay-Z and Beyonce song is like my least favorite. I hate that.
Oh man,
song.
I mean, that's like, you know, sometimes you get throwaway tracks. Like,
yeah.
I treat that like a throwaway track.
Yeah.
Well, you brought up a good point, man. Kind of about some of the differences in hip hop and like how it's changed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and every artist has an opinion on it, right?
Every
artist that creates has an opinion on where the music is and where it's going. You know what I mean? So, first, what do you think about where the music is right now, like, and what you're hearing? And then, where do you think it's going? Like, what's the next step for hip-hop?
Right now, man, I'm kind of like 50-50. Like, some days I fucking hate rap. I ain't even gonna hold nobody up. I'm gonna keep it 1,000,000,000% real in this interview, man. For those of y'all that's listening, if you got a problem with my opinion, I'm sorry. It's my opinion. But the era that, you know what I'm saying, we've been talking about and we grew up in, it's like the golden era, the golden age of hip hop. And it felt good. It made you feel, you know what I'm saying, some type of way. Like, now I just feel like they just do it just to make a profit. And it's just getting cliche and everybody just copying each other. And it's like, I don't want to get into no crazy-ass conspiracy theories and nothing like that, man, because people going to look at me in the eye. But it's just like, I just feel like that the powers that be that control it are trying to turn it into something that if people don't cherish it and take more time and putting their work into it and they hearts, blood, soul, tears and all that shit, it's gonna fade away like hip, like rock and roll, man. I feel like, not to be racist, but I feel like white people want to take over rap, and it's not. And I love white people. I got white family. I got white best friends and all that shit. So I'm not a racist by far. I love every color of people. For those of you bigots out there that want to reverse the shit on me, but I just feel like the evil white people that have a hand in hip hop know that it's the most influential genre of music on the planet, especially now in 2014. It's in everything. Like, hip-hop is undeniable. It's kind of like the everybody want to be a nigga but don't want to be a nigga thing. It's like everybody... Yeah, man. It's like everybody want to be a nigga but they don't want to be a nigga. It's the same with hip-hop. It's like they accept it but at the same time they shun it because it's the first thing they blame for something go wrong. People are going to violence saying, well, it's the music and all this and the whole Chief Keef in Chicago thing. And it's like, no. Rap has always been like Public Enemy. It's been in news for the ghetto. So it's letting the world know what's going on and people don't accept the real and shit, man. It's like now they just trying to turn into some pop shit. Look at all the white artists that's starting to take over of hip hop, man. You got Iggy Azalea, Macklemore, Jeezy. Like, where the fuck this guy come from?
Not getting nothing against him. I was just asking the homie Marcus that the other day. Like, I saw the dude's album on Spotify. I'm like, I never heard of this dude. And they like promoting the album like he's like
iTunes. I seen it on Revolt TV and Revolt online. They present a lot of different shit. That's right. Why I check it a lot. And I was like, oh, who is G-Eazy? This shit, like his album coming out next week. I'm like, I've never heard this guy. He got features from E-40 and shit. This is like, okay. He looks like a country singer or I wouldn't even say a country singer. He looked like he sing pop or some shit like that. But
yeah. I thought it was going to be a rock album. I was not expecting it to be rap.
I thought it was
going to
be alternative, man. Yeah. It was like, all right, I see that. And I see what they doing. And Dame Dash ranting about the culture vultures and all that shit. I see the direction is going in, man. Now it's coming full circle to being back independent. You don't have to have a label. All you gotta do is create your own buzz, and accessibility is there for people, but it's so much shit out there because everybody can do it that it's a lot of quality shit getting looked over. So it could either go either way. Like Jay said, the internet is the Wild Wild West, so that makes music more easy to get and create. It's just that you gotta surf and find and search through all that needle in the haystack bullshit, man. I could go on hours and days and weeks for it.
No, that's real though, man. I mean, it's you know what I mean? Because it's like the music is so crazy now because, like, everything is in waves, right?
Yeah,
you know
man. What I mean? Like, it's like, come on, man. It should be a fact. It's a consistent feeling. Thing.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have, like, right now, like, everybody got a Mustard track, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I fuck with Mustard. I love Mustard's tracks. Like, I ain't gonna lie. Like, that dude is hot. But it's like, you feel like, all right, well, who going to be right behind that? Like, what's the...
Yeah,
like, you
don't and that's the pattern that people caught on to, man. Because at first, it was like, you know, Pharrell had his whole way. And congratulations on his comeback, because Pharrell is, like, one of the dopest
artists. An artist. He's a creator.
He's just creator. Like, he's one of the most brilliant people we've ever had in, like, pop culture, period. Right. So, like, I love when he was having his wave. You've seen it, like, how Kanye was having his wave and producing for everybody, and then, you know what I'm saying? Puff Daddy and the Hitman was doing everything, and it's just like everybody has their time now, so now it's just Mustard time. It's just like now everybody can be a producer.
Exactly.
Well, I wouldn't even say a producer. Everybody can be a beat maker and shit, because there's so many people that my granny can put out a mixtape, bro.
All you need is an NPC.
That's all you need. You don't even need an NPC. All you need is a laptop and Fruity, right? You know what I'm saying? A Logic, a machine, or something like that. So
I know from experience. I played around with Fruity Loops and realized it wasn't for me.
Man, I miss it, man. I haven't produced anything in a minute, but I have tracks that's out there that I produce.
Yeah.
Like, shout out to Vine, also part of TNFAC. Go to SoundCloud.com / Vine TNFAC. I think that's...
One more time for the cheap seats.
Yes. SoundCloud.com / Vine TNFAC. Like,
go get that, man. Y'all go check that link out.
We got a joint on there called Pieces of My Broken Heart, and I produced it, and it's like, it's getting, you know what I'm saying, some sounds of the city. So it's like stuff like that I like doing, and I just took a break for it, but now I feel like as an artist, I feel like getting back into producing. And my producer's like, no, man, just chill, just straight rapping, all that shit. I'm like, man, you can't stop me. You can't. It's like telling an artist, you should only paint this way, you know what I'm saying, because you're an artist. You can't tell me I can't do art on the street or something like that, or I can't do, you know what I'm saying, art in motion. Like, I just got to paint shit, you know what I'm saying, because I'm an artist. Like, that's one thing I don't like to box myself in, so I'm about to get back into the producing thing real soon.
I mean, so what's your sound as a producer? Like, I mean,
I like soulful, I like trip hop. I like the most weirdest different sounding shit, but it still got a bounce to it.
Right.
Like, I listen to a lot of Portishead. I like listening to Party People. Sleep Party People, I'm sorry. Yeah, Portishead is dope.
Portishead is like, whoa, the first Portishead record I heard, I was like,
yeah, man, I got Dummy, I got Portishead. Like, my favorite, one of my favorite albums is Portishead Live at, was it the Roseland Ballroom, some shit in New York City. It's a live album, but that shit's so dope, man. For those of you that don't know, that's what made Kanye make Late Registration. So it's just like a trippy album to listen to. And it's like all these crazy sounds and orchestra and scratching and, like, the shit just dope, man. So that's, I kind of geared my sound towards that. I couldn't master the trap sound, so that shit was just like, nah, I can't do it. I love sampling. That's pretty much my basis. I love, man, like, sampling.
I mean, well, the trap sound is like, it's always moving anyway.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so it's difficult to, like, nail it down, and I don't think you can. You just, the trap sound ends up creating itself.
Yeah,
like,
man.
You know, these producers come up, and it's like, oh, this is the new trap.
But they gotta let some of that shit go, man. Yeah. It's just, it's too much, man. Everybody ain't out there trapping. Where are the fiends at? That's my question. If we all out here trapping, like, come on, y'all.
That's real.
And it's, and shout out to the people that really want to hear real music, but they too, I wouldn't say scared, they too reserved to say they want to hear that new different shit. They just settle and be sheep and listen to the same shit over and over, but they complain. Shout out to y'all, man. I need y'all to start supporting these good artists in the city, for real, for real.
Yeah, man. Hey, man, that's, you know what I mean, and that's, I guess that's another good question. I mean, what's, you know, I mean, a lot of people talk about Detroit, especially on the creative side. Like, Detroit kind of eats its own young, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, Detroit doesn't support its artists.
It don't,
I mean,
man.
What are your thoughts on that as a Detroit artist? I mean, what
that shit is. Like I said earlier, I feel like I'm the black sheep. It's the most frustrating shit ever, man. Like, it's like being ignored on purpose. Okay. I feel like if you don't sit there and fall into the same category as everything else. Like, people try to split Detroit music up into two columns.
Okay.
See, the that trap shit, or it's that backpack hipster shit.
Right.
See what I'm saying? And you got some good and both from bad. I mean, you got some good from both, and you got some horrible, fucking terrible, shitty, garbage truck juice music sounding shit from both of them as well.
Real.
And it's like, my type of music and our music at TNFAC is in the middle. And it's like, we don't really have no genre. Like, we just make great music. And it's like, it gets overlooked because people not familiar with it. And they scared to take chances and think outside the box and be different. So they just be like, well, I ain't ever heard of you. So I'm going to just keep fucking with this so-and-so. This sound over here. Yeah. Or this sound over here. And it's crazy, man. It's like, even a hipster little crowd groupish, it's kind of arrogant as shit when it come to music, man. They just like, if you're not making this shit that we making, we don't fuck with you either. And it's like, damn. Like, I can't get no love in my own city, bro. Like, it's crazy, man. But, I mean, I see Detroit music moving in a positive light in the future. Like how Atlanta and Chicago and Miami and everybody that, you know what I'm saying, had they run. I see Detroit having that real soon, man. So.
Well, that's dope, man. I mean, I think that the optimism, you know what I mean, at least about where Detroit can go is important, you know, because sometimes you wonder, like, yo, Detroit has always had, like, really dope artists, really dope.
They just get overlooked.
Really creators who don't get the credit they deserve. Mm-hmm. And, you know what I mean? So, for you to still believe in what the city is doing, despite your experience with them not necessarily supporting you,
I'm not going to let it stop
you. Says a lot
about
how much you care about the city. You know what I mean? That's another reason for people to support your music, because a lot of these cats coming out don't necessarily care.
Yeah, man, and the cats that you fuck with, you got to support, man. Like, shout out to everybody that's the Elite. If you know, if I say the Elite, you know who you are.
Yeah.
So, it's like, you got to support your own, because if you don't, man, I feel like if you don't have your own backyard and you don't have shit, man. You just like, yeah, you know, people be like, man, oh, you gotta say fuck the city. And some days I do, man, but I'm from the city, so I can say fuck the city. Like, this is my home. I can say fuck my home, you know what I'm saying, when I feel like it's on that bull.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's like, yo, I still love Detroit to the bone marrow, man. Like, this is my home. It'll always be home. So it's the same way I feel about the city moving in a positive, like, just period. I feel the same way the music's going to go. Because, shit, we Motown. If it wasn't for us, it wouldn't be a lot of shit besides Stax Records and all the shit from back in the day like that. Yeah. But as far as Motown, nigga, we created the music. We created rap. We got soul. Like, all the greatest singers were from Motown. Barry Gordy is, like, the godfather of it all, man. So it's like, as a...
Much respect to Motown.
Yeah, much respect to Motown, man. If you ain't ever been to the Hittsville, the museum, USA, you need to go.
You gotta go, man. If you in Detroit and ain't been there, you're not from Detroit. Yeah. That's a rite of passage.
I shamefully just went the first time last summer in my family reunion, man. But it was an eye-opening experience, man. Yeah. But it's like, yeah, people look at the city a certain way, so they treat the music the same way. Like, oh, they from Detroit? Nah, can't fuck with Detroit because they're in Detroit. They bankrupt. They ain't got no money. They out there killing each other. They crazy. You know what I'm saying? They all crackheads and shit like that. And that's not the case. And they go, oh, we don't want to listen to that Detroit shit. So it's like, give us a chance, man. We all got something to say. So,
you know, I think this leads to a pretty good last question for us, man. You know what I mean? You are a Detroiter, like, clearly. Yeah. Like, you know, you love your city, right?
I love my city.
You know, so if you could tell the people that are listening to us that are from Detroit that maybe thinking about coming here or afraid to come here, sell the city, man.
Look, Detroit, I always tell this, and this is the people that live in the city. I live downtown, so I'm always seeing, like, new businesses, new activities, restaurants, bars, just places, good places to go, you know what I'm saying, that they bring all types of people and culture together. You got Midtown and everything like that. Like, just go to the DIA. Go to the American History Museum. Go to the main library. Like, the campus, everything down in Wayne State is dope. Just go explore the city. And people that's never been to Detroit, man, it's not what the news and everybody perceive. If we was that broke, shit, it'd be a lot worse. It'd be pure anarchy. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I know a lot of people don't look at it as a vacation spot, but in a few years, it's going to be a place to be. And then we got Windsor right across the bridge, man. So we got three casinos plus one. We got all these nice hotels and these clubs and everything. It's dope, man. Like, just come visit Detroit. Like, we're good Midwestern people. We get all four seasons every 3 months. Like, we for real feel it. Like, it's like the perfect place to be. I love Detroit. I love Michigan. I got a love-hate relationship for it, but I love it most overall because this is my home, man. You know what I'm saying? So, shout out to everybody that's a Detroiter and the metropolitan area and all that. And shout out to the people that's thinking about coming here and that would, you know, wasn't considering coming here. And you're listening to this now and you're like, you know what? I want to take a trip to the D. Like, we Detroit. We got Coney Island. It's the greatest thing we got here.
No.
Like, that's the greatest thing on earth, Coney Island. People out there that have never had Coney before.
That's secretly the reason I won't move.
Right, man. That's the main reason why people don't leave. They be like, man, I want to move to so-and-so place, but
can't get no Coney,
ain't no Coney out there. I'll be like, yeah, man, if you live in L.A., it's rap, man.
You get spoiled out here, man. That Coney life is something else, dog.
Yeah, y'all don't know.
Late nights, you know what I mean?
Hey, Coney, Faygo, even though I don't drink pop, but Faygo and Better Made Chips. So many varieties of everything, man. That shit.
Word. Shout anybody out to you want to shout out, man? Anybody you want to give love to, man? We got to give you the opportunity to do that, too, man.
First, I want to shout out to you and Marcus. Shout out to From Scratch for having me as the first guest of the show.
We appreciate you, blood.
Yeah, man. Shout out to the city of Detroit. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to everybody doing your thing, man. All the people that's doing the crazy, violent shit. Please stop it, man. We got a lot more to live for. You know what I'm saying? We can build this city up even better than what it is and even better than what people expect that's on the outside looking in. And last but not least, shout out to TNFAC, Dopey, Train, Motizzy, Vine. Shout out to my nigga Chez. Free my nigga Chez, man. You know what I'm saying? Let's get it. Shout out to Asar too, man. My music wouldn't be what it is if I didn't have my engineer. So he a big part of that, man. So, yeah, man, that's what it is, man. TNFAC. Cheers.
Hey, man, well, one more time, man. We appreciate you coming
appreciate
out, man.
It. No problem, man. I love having them good discussions, man.
Yeah, man, from scratch, man.
I'm just glad y'all appreciate having me, man.
Shout out to the homie Acapella for making time for us, coming through and, mm-hmm. and sharing some of his stories, some of his opinions, man.
Yeah, the EP dropping at the end of August.
End of August, man.
It's going to be on my website, so look for my website. I ain't going to say the name.
Break bread with the brother, man.
I got some good music for y'all, man. So,
do it.
Fuck with me.
All right, man. From scratch, we out.
Yeah.